today. Give a few verses of scripture, give you a few thoughts, and we'll be gone. Amen. And I know that's a big idea for everybody right now, dinner. Amen. So we'll try to be brief, be within the time frame. I've always believed when if we want to give, if it's 10 minutes, when you're coming up with missions, you learn to deal with anything. I've got 10 minutes. I've got 5 minutes. I've been given 3 minutes. I think that's about the lowest I ever got was 3 minutes. But a friend of ours was in a missions conference. They had about 10 missionaries, and they had them all to get up one night and said, you've got, or he had, I think, 5 of them get up one night and said, you got 10 minutes apiece. Every missionary went over. Every one of them. They got the last one who was a missionary with our board. And the preacher got up. He looked at him. He said, every one of your brethren has cost you your time. They've all went over. Said, you got 1 minute. He got up to 58 seconds. He was the only one that got support and the only one that got offered.
Yeah. Amen.
So I always try to stay within the time limit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Best when you're trying to get support. Amen. You do not want to offend the preacher. Amen. As one guy you do not want to offend. Amen. But it's always a joy, of course. We just enjoy preaching the Word of God. And the Lord has been very gracious to us. We've been in missions now for 37 years. And God's been very good to us. He gave us a good wife that stayed with us. One pastor up in Maryland said she had at least 10 crowns just for being married to me. I looked around at him. I said, shut up. Nobody asked you nothing. Amen. But she probably got more crowns than that, Brother Mars. Amen. Just being married to me. I always say, I've been married 43 years. She's been married for eternity. Amen. And but it's been a good life serving Jesus.
Amen.
I praise the Lord for the privilege of being able to serve Him. Mark chapter 14, let's just stand up for just a minute. Give your seat a break from your weight. Amen. And let your blood stir a little bit. And maybe you won't go to sleep. If you do, Brother Epps is going to wake you up. Seen Brother Epps step out, I thought he left. When he announced I was preaching, I thought he left. But he really went out there to get some of that coffee candy so he could stay away, I think. But I enjoy being around the men of God, just having fellowship. It's just great. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence that have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whenever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her. Father, would you help us today? We thank you already for the music. We thank you for the pastor, for the church. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God we've already heard. And Father, I pray that you'd help us in the next few minutes to say something to be encouragement and a help to those that are here today. We know there are various churches, various ministries, Father, that's represented. And I pray, God, you'd speak to our hearts and give us encouragement, Father, that only you can do. We know, Lord, that you can only help us as we'll let you help us. And Father, I pray, Lord, you give an open heart to receive. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I enjoyed the brother the other day. He pulled his coat off. Amen. Made me feel at home.
Amen.
I developed a habit in Brazil. We don't have air conditioners down there. We got fans, but we don't have air conditioners. So I just got in the habit of pulling it off.
Yeah.
Feel like I'm a choking if I don't. And it still does that here. So I hope it don't offend you. If it do, you just have to get over it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. But it don't help my preaching none. You'll notice that. But it just makes me feel better. Amen. But I was reading, doing my Bible reading a short time ago, back, I guess, toward the first of the year. And I try to keep a little notebook when I'm reading. And sometimes the Lord will give you a thought or something. I'm sure a lot of you probably do that. But I just wrote down a thought when I read this verse of Scripture. And later on, the Lord began to deal my heart with it. And when we was preaching at a missions conference in June, and for Brother Tommy Wenzel. And I wrote this thought down and developed it a little bit. Maybe it'll be a help to us today on writing your own memorial. Writing your own memorial. We don't like to talk about death. But you ever thought about what people are going to say about you when you die? Reckon it'd be anything good. Several years ago, my wife taught our children in our home in homeschooling. And I come in one day for about dinner time to get some dinner. And for those that's in the north, they eat some lunch. But they eat some dinner and there's all laughing in the schoolroom. Of course, I just turned the corner and went into the schoolroom. I said, "What y'all laughing about? You're supposed to be studying." And one of my kids, I don't remember, Jonathan or Christy, said, "We were just talking about what we're going to write on y'all's tombstones when you die." I thought, that ain't a good subject. And I said, "Well, what did you decide?" They said, "Well, for Mama, we decided we're going to write on her tombstone, shut up and get that schoolwork done." And I said, "What about mine?" They said, "On yours, we're going to write, gone. Gone." Because I always say it, I'm gone. I'm gone. But what people going to say about it? We talk about preaching funerals. But actually, we preach our own funeral before we die. What's said about us is what we've done with our life while we were living.
Amen.
One couple, a lady and her son, was sitting in the funeral. The preacher began to preach the funeral, as we use the terminology. And he began talking how good the man was, how good he was to the woman, how good he was to his son. And the woman looked down and said, "Son, go look in that casket. I think we're at the wrong funeral."
Yeah.
Amen. And I'm afraid that's a lot of times what happens. But Lorraine said that some people should be have their funeral at the bar.
Yeah, amen.
That's where they spent all their life.
Yeah, amen.
Or on the ball field,
yeah,
or somewhere else, maybe on the beach.
Yeah.
Where they spent all their time still dragging them into church when they don't want to go there anyhow.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. I guess that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
But what they're going to think about it. But this story is in three of the Gospels, this story, I believe, to me revealed giving at its finest. This story rejuvenates our desire to please Him above all others. It's got four things real quick, and we'll go eat whatever they got. The attitude of the gift. The attitude. Lots been said this week about attitude. Sometimes our attitude sucks. Just no other terminology and put our attitude sometimes or just bad. But the attitude of her gift today was, first of all, it was costly. Verse 5 said it had a very high price tag to it for her. Said it could be sold for 300 pence. Now, I'm not too much of a Bible scholar. All this preaching, I've been turning a lot of channels while I'm preaching, amen? So they've been preaching to me. I study more. I know it don't affect y'all, but it's been affecting me. But to tell me daily wage is about a penny a day. So that's about 300 days worth of work. That's almost a whole year's salary was the worth of the anointment that she put upon Jesus' head. So it was a costly gift.
Amen.
There's not any pastors that are here today that would not get happy if some of their church people Sunday morning would put in almost a year's wages for a gift. Brother Randall Marsh might even take up Brother Cole's idea of jumping pews and running around. Amen. And Brother Nickel might even walk all the way to the rear. Amen. But I want to tell you something. It was something costly for this girl, for this lady to give to God. And then it was consecrated. Consecrated. If the position of it. She gave it and put it on the head of Jesus.
Amen.
I'll tell you something. I know several of these people here, Brother Epps, and several of them, Brother Bob Patton, all we've known each other a long time, Brother Donnie Harvey, Brother David Epps, we've known him for several years, and some others, but there's none of these men that I would feel at liberty to walk up behind and take a bottle of oil and pour it on their head. Some would run off faster than others. I'm getting there. But friend, this just wasn't anybody. This lady, Mary, walked up behind the Lord. She just didn't walk up to anybody. She walked up to the Son of God, going to be the Savior of the world. And she broke that alabaster box and poured it on his head. I mean, she had a consecration about that oil. It just wasn't giving it to just anybody. Amen. And then it was consumed. The Bible said she poured it all.
Amen. Yeah.
And Brother Meisengill preached the other night, how much of us does God have? Have we given all to Him? Somebody said being full of the Holy Ghost is not how much of Him we got, but how much of us He's got.
Yeah,
amen. Well, we got all of Him. When we got saved. I'm afraid most of us, we've got some reservations made. We got some compartments. We hadn't given it all to the Holy Ghost. We hadn't given it all to God. And it's time for us to break the box and just give it all to Him. The attitude of her gift. And then second of all, the adoration of her gift. The person giving the gift, I said, was Jesus. I don't think I personally could have done what she done. Hello?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. Jesus. Walk up behind Him and pour oil on His head. And friend, it evidently was a pretty good box of oil.
Yeah.
How you know? Because you go over to John's Gospel, and the Bible says she got out with her hair and washed His feet.
Yeah.
Cleaned the oil. I believe it went all over His head, all the way down His garment, all the way to His feet. Amen.
Yeah.
Don't tell you something. God's expecting us to worship Him.
Amen.
A lot of the messages, most of the songs, has all been centered around worshiping Him.
Amen.
It's not who we are.
Yeah.
It's not what we've done.
Amen.
But it's all about Him,
yeah,
what He's done,
yeah,
what He's going to do,
amen,
and where He's going to take us, praise God.
Huh?
It's about us worshiping Him. The problem generated with the gift. You know, you always have problems. Being a pastor, you always have problems. Being a preacher, you have problems. Being a missionary, somebody said the other day, being married, you got problems. But there are always problems. And generally, sometimes I make a comment when I'm reading this. The Bible said, verse 4, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. I said that was the first movement of independent Baptists in the Bible.
Yeah, right.
Indignation.
Yeah, amen.
Now, a lot of Baptists get mad when you go to worshiping Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
I've been around some preachers get mad when you're worshiping,
yeah,
Jesus.
Amen.
Especially if they're not preaching.
Yeah.
Hello?
They
like you to shout when they're preaching, but they won't help you if you're preaching.
Yeah, come on.
They're afraid it's going to get old.
Yeah, amen.
Hello?
That's right. Yeah.
But some indignation. They got mad because she worshiped the Lord.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get mad when others worship the Lord. Hello?
Amen.
But all it does is because we're embarrassed because we're not worshiping the Lord. As long as we're worshiping the Lord, there's not too much problem. But when we stop worshiping the Lord, somebody else, well, that's his flesh.
Yeah.
But of all of them, I've never shouted out the flesh that I know of.
Yeah, amen. You're right.
And I don't think anybody want to be around me by shouting out the flesh.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
One preacher said, some church member told him, said, well, I won't be there Sunday, but I'll be there in the Spirit. He said, no, just take it with you, too. We don't want him floating around here.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Want our bodies. The passion going out of the gift. She break the box. And you're not going to do much to God till you surrender it all. J. Harold Smith, I don't know what you think about him, but J. Harold Smith said one of the songs, the most lifetime in the church service is invitation. And the most lied to song in invitation is I surrender all.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
And that won't get out of my brain every time we sing it. It's in Portuguese or in English.
Yeah.
I don't know Chinese. But if they sung it, I'd probably know what it was. By the metal. But we sing it, but we don't mean it.
Right.
How do you know? Because the altars stay empty.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
It's been mentioned several times. Some things just stick out to you when you're preaching, but it's been meditating upon my heart. I've been wanting to get a message together, and I guess it's because I hadn't studied like I'm supposed to, brother. On repairing the broken altars. I'll tell you something. I believe what's wrong with most of our churches, most of our homes, most of our lives, we just not spend no time in the altar. My dad told the church there that he's pastored for 38 years, and he said when he first went there, he said the reason we're having the problem we're having, they don't nobody come to the altar. And I believe today it's permeated our churches that the altar is where sinners are supposed to get saved. But if you go back and study the Old Testament, Brother Nichols, the altar wasn't made for sinners. The altar was made for the children of God, for us to get right. And if we get right, people will get saved. May not just be here at the altar. Maybe at the gas pump. Maybe at the restaurant. Maybe in their houses. But people will get born again if we, the children of God, get our heart right with God. And most of us, we stay on top of young people because they're not living right. But I tell my young people's not living right. Mom and dad's not living right. We're not giving them nothing to look up to. I agree with you, preacher. That phrase, youth is the church of tomorrow, that's never stuck with me, even since I've been a teenager. It's the church of today. If they're not today, they won't be here tomorrow. You go to most churches today, they've got no young people. They've got very few young couples in them. Most of them are just about cemetery plots. And I'm not speaking that ill. Praise God for us older people. I is one. I'm not as old as some people like Tommy Balcom, but I'm old. He's been in mission for 100 years. He started with Noah. I want to tell you something. We just need to get where God's presence is. I want to tell you something. They said a lot of things. The vessel was broken. The value was bestowed. And the victory was believed. But let me give you the third thing real quick. The anointing of her gift. In verse 8, the Bible said it signified his death. Jesus said, she's come to anoint my body for the burial. That wasn't supposition. She didn't dream it. She didn't even think it up. Jesus said, she's come to anoint me. Now, best I could find out, and you Bible scholars can correct me later if you want to, but you don't find Mary of Bethany at the cross. You know why? She just got through anointing him. She didn't have to go. She'd already deposited her gift on him. She wasn't there. But it signified the death that he was going to die. Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world, to give my life, that you and I might be saved. The cross didn't slip up on Jesus. The devil didn't surprise Jesus. God didn't go to plan B. There was plan A, and it's always been plan A. And God didn't have another plan. That Jesus was going to have to die on the cross that you and I could be saved. Amen. Praise God for that. And then verse 6. It suggested his destiny. But I like verse 6, the Bible said, and Jesus said, let her alone. It shut up the devil.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. It shut up the devil. I wish I could shut him up sometime. I remember who was preaching the other day, and they said, sometimes they get together, come on, devil, let's get it. You know, sometimes you get through preaching a good message, you feel like that, but it don't last long. Especially if he shows up real fast.
Yeah.
And generally he does. By the time you get to the back door, the devil's already got there.
Yeah.
Hello. I'll tell you, Brother Donnie, what I done down in Brazil, I wouldn't even talk to the people before church. I got tired of when you're getting ready to preach, you're trying to get your thoughts together. You walk out of the office, or you're walking out of the office, somebody says, preacher's going to talk to you a minute. By the time they get through with you, You ain't in no frame of mind.
Yeah.
There's nothing but dismissed and go to the house.
Amen.
So I said, if you don't talk to me, it's after church or Monday night or another night, unless it's a death situation.
Yeah.
Before I preach, I ain't talking to none of them about problems.
Amen.
Hello, brother. Glory to God. Amen. Just like that, but no problem. That way when I get up to preach, I don't have to think about everything they told me. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
Trying to figure something out while I'm preaching to answer their questions.
Yeah, amen.
I'll do that on Monday night. I may not have the answer, but I'll call somebody.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Or talk to him about it.
Yeah.
But he shut up the devil. He said, let her alone.
Yeah.
Boy, a lot of times in churches, you have to tell people to let us alone.
Yeah.
They say, man, I don't like the way you worship. I don't care.
Amen, brother.
We don't like the way you shout. I don't give a rip.
Amen.
I got over that a long time ago.
Yeah.
When I first surrendered to preach, somebody said, well, man, if you keep shouting and hollering and running around, I haven't been able to run around much, preacher. I just had knee surgery, so I'm having to take it kind of easy. I have walked the pews and I have made laps. Amen. I have lapped the outside of the buildings. We've done that a few times, but somebody said, I said, man, if I do that, I ain't gonna get no appointments. But I found out if you don't have God, you don't need no appointments.
Amen.
Well, it's used to being a pulpit and he's not there.
Amen.
I've been in a few pulpits, and I think it's about like Brother Massengill said the other day, God said, I'll see you when you get out. It either there, it was either that or I was way off base. I don't know which one. But I want God to be around. I want to be in His will. I want to feel His presence. Then let me give the last thing. I think I got 5 minutes, if I'm right, preacher. If I ain't just tell me, knock, shut up. The acclamation of her gift. I think this part probably blessed me the most. She was rewarded by the Lord for what she done. I'm afraid we lose a lot of our reward down here, Brother Pat and all, because we do stuff for the praise of men.
Yeah, right. Yeah, amen, brother.
Good job, brother.
Yeah, come on.
Man, you're doing a great job. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, we try to be modest, but on the inside, sometimes we're saying, praise God. Kind of like that good message, you know. Boy, you brought a good message today. God bless you. May the Lord be glorified. Yeah. Preacher friend of mine, I won't call his name. He said he preached one Wednesday night. He said it's just like his fighting yellow jackets. He said it seemed like every word just fell out of his mouth and hit the pulpit and smacked him in the face. And said when he got through preaching, he went to the back door hoping somebody would come by and tell him, "Preacher, that was a good message." He said several people shook his hand, and here come his wife. And when she got to the back door, she looked at him, almost called his name. They looked at him and called him by his name and said, "Didn't you study any today?" Preacher said that Job's wife. Amen. But sometimes we look for it, we don't get it. But every now and then, the Lord will use us. And the Lord will bless us. And the Lord anoints what we're saying. And God uses us to preach the word of God. But we ain't careful. That ego gets up. I remember hearing Dr. Seiler said, Dr. Seiler preached a message one time, as far as I know, the only time he ever preached it, on God can. I've got that tape. I've heard it 100 times. Man, it's a tremendous message. Somebody asked him to preach it in their meeting. He said, "I'm not preaching it again." Then why not? I said, "God used it. Sure did. He might not use it the next time." Now, I'm not against preaching messages twice. That's my wife. We was in candidate school one year. We had a young missionary with us. And the wives, of course, the wives get together and talk sometimes more than those preachers know. And they was talking about listening to the husband's sermons, you know, because we're in service on Sunday morning. We're somewhere else 200 miles away on Sunday night. And Wednesday night, we're 400 miles away. Sometimes we don't study. Or God uses that, so we use it again. I'm not against that. I do it. But this missionary wife said, "Yeah, my husband preached one message 153 times that I've got it marred down." Just to change. You change scripture, Baptists don't know it.
Yeah.
Preach the same one on Sunday night, most of them wouldn't catch it. You don't even have to change the title. They don't remember. But when your children start reciting it while you're preaching, getting pretty bad. Getting pretty bad, you look at your kids going. Rewarded by the Lord. Remembered by the laborers. The Bible said, and part that I liked in verse 9, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her." The Bible said, remembered by everybody, recorded by the Lord. Our gift is important. I don't really think Mary Bethany thought too much about what she was doing. She took a box, spikenard, don't know how big it was, but she broke the box of spikenard, the alabaster box, and put it on Jesus' head. And I believe she probably, after she dried his feet, slipped out to the side, and left.
Yeah.
She didn't stand there waiting, "Lord, you're going to pat me on the back."
Come on, brother. That's right.
I think Mary probably just disappeared from the midst. But Jesus took notes. Probably looked at the angel and said, "I want you to record that down."
Yeah.
There's some future preaching in there, but I hadn't got into that part of it yet. And he said, "Where this gospel is preached in the whole world." But that's already expanding.
Yeah, amen.
From Mark.
Amen. Yeah.
Mandarin. Portuguese. Spanish. Laos, whatever the Laos sense is, whatever they speak over there. Or Indiana. South Carolinian. Tennessee, why? Wherever the gospel be preached,
amen, brother,
it shall be written as a memorial for her.
Amen.
Let me ask you in closing, are you writing your own memorial? What could God say about us? What are we doing to bring honor to Him? How much is our life? Has He took note of what we've done for Him. I'm afraid a lot of we're going to be burnt up by the fire. But boy, I sure would like to earn some crowns. I'd like to earn some rewards. I love Brother Nick would hear him say, "Enter in, my faithful son, my faithful servant, to the joys of the Lord." Don't know if I get to hear that, but Brother Patton, all I'm striving for that. But Ahoy, I want to bring honor and glory to Him.
Yeah, amen.
I want to lift Him up.
Yeah.
I want to praise Him.
Yeah.
And I sure would like to write a good memorial. And when I kick out of here, first of all, the devil know I left. Hey, man, I sure would like to leave a few footprints on his neck.
Yeah.
But the children of God and God will know that I love Him.
Amen.
I sure would like to write a good memorial
Amen.
For my Christian life. Preacher.